Hey, folks, what would you do this summer with all the money you'd save if you didn't have a car payment for the next 5 months? Hopefully, buy lots of merchandise for the Mike Church Trading Post. Well, right now at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, take advantage of the Summer's on Us sales event with zero payments for 5 months. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 66 months on the one-of-a-kind Kia Soul, or the high-tech Kia Forte, or the newly redesigned Kia Optima. Bulldog Kia is where Mrs. Church and I have purchased our vehicle since 2011. They're great friends, and they'll treat you right, too. And for Mike Church Show listeners anywhere in the continental U.S., they will ship your new Kia to you for free. Don't cost nothing. That means your new Kia is only a click or call away. For details, call them at 855-BULLDOG or go to bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia.
Most Crusade Channel wannabes only get the mission half right.
Men, you are about to embark on a great crusade to stamp out runaway decency in the West.
So why settle for half-baked radio hacks crusading in mono when you can get the real deal on the Mike Church Show?
Now go do that voodoo that you do so well.
In stereo. Oh, oh, oh. The Mike Church Show's Great Crusade is on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Listening to this in tape delay today as a download. It's a Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Know that what's happening here is that dam break that David Simpson has been predicting has finally occurred. And apparently, so many people have tried to hit our... There it is. It's showing me that it's up. But it keeps going off and on. So many people have tried to hit our Shoutcast, which is the software that we use to broadcast the program. And I know it can handle a minimum of 20,000 at a time. But so many people have hit it that the server has crashed. And it was restarted, and then people refreshed their phones or whatever and hit it again and crashed it again. And so it looks like it was just restarted again for the third time and has now, it is now currently up and running. So Bizod, Andrew Bizod is our special guest today, the author of Lions of the Faith. He is on the Skype hotline. Yeah, Andrew, you crashed the server today. So that's a great thing. I was just telling Maggie O'Connell in the other room. She goes, of all days for the server to crash. I went, that's a good problem to have, that we apparently maxed out the RAM on the thing or whatever and took it down. But we are back up live, and we were never not live on YouTube. So the YouTube audio and stream continued apace. So let's get back to our conversation here. So I asked a question. If you weren't able to listen live, I'm going to ask again because the stream is back up now. So I'm going to ask the question of Andrew Bizod again. So Omar Mateen, now I said this earlier that this could be an act of genocide as well as an act of mass murder. Most people are saying it's mass murder because that's a legal term, you see. But Andrew, mass murder that's not a war term. You don't use murder in war. You use killed in action or killed or slain in combat or what have you. Genocide, though, is a term that you use in war. And to select 50 dogs or Boston Terriers for execution because they fit a certain cultural or sexual lifestyle or point of view or whatever seems to me to be more genocidal than it is murderous. right?
So genocide is even defined by Raphael Lemkin, who's a Jewish attorney who based his definition actually off of what happened to the Armenian, Assyrian, and Greek Christians during the events of 1915 through 1917. And that's actually where he got his definition from. So yes, a genocide is the intentional destruction of an entire people and their way of life through, you know, trying to wipe out their everything from their highest culture down to even their basic biological constitution. And it can take many different forms. So if you're looking for targeting people simply because of, you know, certain particular things and you want to wipe all of them out, that definitely fits his definition of genocide, yes.
Now, I'd also like to repeat for for those of you that didn't hear this earlier because the Shoutcast server that carries our audio stream went down, I'd also like to repeat the question that I asked Andrew earlier, and that is, did Omar Mateen commit a crime as far as Islam is concerned? Did he? Was what he did in that nightclub in Orlando a crime in the eyes of Islam?
Nope.
No.
No different than the gentleman, Mr. Abdussalam, who shot up those people in Molenbeek over in Holland. It's mm-hmm. no different. He didn't commit a crime either. Again, look at it in the same context here. It was an act of piety. Because remember, if he would, now let me put it like this, in Islamic context, if these were Muslims that he was murdering, yes, that's a crime. No question about it, because these are Muslims, these are human beings. The non-Muslim, though, because he is a non-Muslim, he has chosen to renounce Islam, the religion that he was born with, and the religion that defines his humanity, because one's humanity is defined by one's belief and practice of Islam. Therefore, it's no different than shooting a dog.
And that's why in my comment on Facebook, I said that the men and women in that nightclub were Boston Terriers.
Precisely.
There's no difference between a Boston Terrier to the Orthodox Islamic. Now, let's talk about the answer to all this, or to the solution to this. And the solution is for the Western world, and certainly for most American conservatives, is going to be that the first thing is, well, we need to have a stronger military presence in Syria. We need to reinvade Iraq. We got to get boots on the ground. We're going to have to find ISIS and exterminate them. ISIS has claimed responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Now, that can be certainly part of the response, and would be in some cases, if it were specifically targeted and you actually knew that there was someone that was a member of ISIS that actually ordered the hit, if you will, and caused it to be carried out, well, yes, and that's how you would respond. But in the world of Christendom, in the land of that we call Christendom today, because they had to fight this for 1,100 years, this was actually a battle, and it's the one heresy that the Catholic Church was, and others, two heresies now. mm-hmm. I won't mention the other one today because...
Oh, don't worry, you can mention it to me after.
Yeah, you know which one it is. So there's two heresies that remained. One that we won't mention, and the other one is Islam. So that's really what the response must be, is that you have to treat it as what it is, as a heresy. You're not going to fight it with pagans to free speech. You're not going to fight it with pagans to freedom and liberty, unless you're talking about religious liberty. You're only going to be able to fight this as the men of Christendom did, which is, as I said on Facebook yesterday, pick up a rosary and get in the game.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's pretty simple. You know, when it comes to fighting, you said people are going to say, oh, we need more freedom. We need more democracy in these lands. We need to fight ISIS. Well, like you said, those are some nice suggestions, but remember, this Omar Mateen worked for G4S, a major Homeland Security contractor. He was involved in driving illegal immigrants working at the border, where we have a lot of illegal immigrants that come through. He was involved in very high level government security operations, and people are saying, "Well, how could he have done this?" Well, the answer is very simple. It has nothing to do with ISIS or whatever other group, although, well, I shouldn't say nothing to do with it, but I should say the root of this does not have to do with ISIS or any of these other groups. The root of it is Islamic orthodoxy. You see, as I mentioned, this man did not have to shoot that nightclub up per Islamic standards. He did not have to. He chose to. But the fact that he chose to is not a sin in Islam. It's la dirar wa la darur. It's neither harmful nor helpful in terms of, in the very most liberal case in Islamic theology, and in the most orthodox case, he'd be lauded for what he did. So he did not actually commit a sin. At the very worst, he just did something that was morally neutral. And this is because the Islamic theology, the violence of Islam, the deviancy, the problems that you see with Islam, they are all rooted in the theology. They're inseparable from the religion itself. You cannot divorce Islamic theology from the fruits of it. It's like trying to divorce, it's like what we try to do in the West, where we try to divorce the fruits of conception from the act that causes conception. It's impossible. You cannot separate the two. And if you do, you get into a kind of a schizophrenia that ultimately consumes itself. The same with Islam. You cannot separate the beliefs that Islam has from the fruits which it produces. If you believe these things, if you follow this pathway established by Muhammad, you are going to wind up this way if you follow it to its logical conclusion. Just like with the Catholic faith. If you follow, now I'm not talking about people who say whatever they want to say. I'm talking about the actual way it is taught. You follow the fruits of that, you follow the path it guides you on, you will turn out one certain way if you follow it to its logical conclusion. Case in point, two men who lived almost during the same time period. One man, as I've used the example in your show before, one of these men was from Italy. This guy was a party boy. He didn't care about religion at all. One day he had a conversion in a church. He went out, he gave up all of his claims to wealth. He chose to follow the faith. He made himself very poor. Live for the church, live for God, did many good things, he had the stigmata, and he died a saint. That was Saint Francis of Assisi.
Right.
About the same time, a little bit earlier, over in northern Iraq, which is today northern Iraq, I should say, you had another young man. He was irreligious. He didn't care. He was a rich party boy, too. He went over to stay with his uncle, who was in Egypt. He had a religious conversion there. He decided to embrace the Islam that he was born with much more wholeheartedly. And what did he do? He started practicing. He started practicing it more. He became more violent. He became a great military leader, and he was the terror of the Crusades that was stopped only by Sir Richard the Lionheart. This man was none other than Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, who we call Saladin. Two men, two different contexts, two different ways of life, almost the same, just different place. Both of them had a conversion in their respective religions. One became a saint of the church, the other became a saint of the damned. That's the end result. It is what it is.
844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you have questions for Andrew Bizot, author of Lions of the Faith, available as an Amazon Kindle download. And here, a frequent guest here on the Mike Church Show, here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. And then, finally, here today, when we talk about the response to this, and we know that we already know what the predictable response is. We already know what the usual suspects are going to counsel. We have already seen what the usual suspects are counseling out there today. Yep. And that is, exactly as you would expect, the right's going to blame the left, the left's going to blame the right. The left is going to say that this is that this is all about homophobia, and it's Christians like me and Bizod that cause the homophobia. And, quote, conservatives, close quote, are going to say that, no, that's not what it is. This is all about, this guy was radicalized by ISIS, who we created, by the way. And so what we need to do is we got to get stronger. We need more weapons. We need more guns. We need more bombs. And we got to get over in the Middle East. And we have to do all these things. No one is going to deal with this as the religious problem that it ultimately is. And that is, which religion is it that is going to survive this? Now we know that it was Catholicism or Christianity that outlasted the Mohammedan urge to take over, the Mohammedan plan or plot to take over the Christian people or the seat of the Roman Church, which is the Vatican. They had designs on it when who was it? Was it Mustafa Pasha that was going to take Vienna?
Mustafa Pasha, yes. Mustafa Pasha, yes, and even before that. You see, the desire to take over Rome, it is an obsession among Muslims, and the answer is very simple. Why? Because they believe that when Rome falls, when they are in control of it, that will be the end not only of all of the empires of the ancient world, but it will signal by divine providence that that Islam will take over the whole world, the entire world. It is a sign of, it is really an eschatological sign for them, and very important for them, which is the reason why this refugee crisis that we're seeing, I should say this so-called refugee crisis in Europe, is so dangerous, because we're dumping millions of these people into, you know, these Western European nations. The Vatican is surrounded.
Right.
They know it. They're surrounded by, right across, I think it's from St. Peter and Paul's Church in the Vatican City, there's a huge mosque put there by the Saudi Arabians. It's been there for years. And they did it intentionally. They did that because it's a sign that we are coming to, we're watching you, and we're going to take you over when we have the first chance we can. Because, again, it's eschatological for them. This is about the end times for them. They think that when they take over Rome, it's going to usher in the death of Christianity worldwide and the advent of a new Islamic age.
How ironic that Orthodox Catholics and Orthodox Muslims actually agree on something then, right?
Oh, yes. Well, there's plenty I can say that we agree on. The question is, why do we agree on it? Exactly, because, you know, different epistemologies, you know, the Muslims agree on it because they think this is...
Right. You know,
next best thing since sliced bread, and we agree on it because we need to stop you from.
Right, you get there. You get there different ways, but you still get there the same way. Last time we talked about this, Andrew, we talked about how what our first response as Christians should be is, well, number one, you got to pray for the repose of the souls that were taken in Orlando. That's number one. And that was already done. I did that yesterday, and I'll continue to do that. Number two is the Christian has got to start practicing a sort of apologetics when it comes to dealing with the Muslim faith that there are tens of millions of them in North America now. I mean, that's the fact. That's the reality. If you want to eliminate the threat, well, then you need to convert the Muslim into a Christian, right?
Yes, and I should say that with the apologetics, too, I emphasize to people, you know, Muslims, this is what Muslims will do all the time. They'll want to talk about comparative religion, they'll say many times. There's some nonsense like that. And they'll get in your face, and they'll start, you know, bulleting questions at you about, well, why do you believe in the Trinity? Well, why do you believe in that? And they'll keep going on and on. It's a role. The fact is, let people, you want to know what one of the best things you can do is don't engage that kind of foolishness. What I do with them is I say, look, I am, you know, I'm Catholic. This is the truth. You're wrong. I'm right. Because that's just a fact. If you want to learn more about the truth, you can come talk to me and ask me your question. But don't sit here and bullet stuff at me. Because this is what a lot of Muslims will do. I'll just tell you from experience, anywhere from 1 to 10% of Muslims will actually convert in a given population, generally speaking, barring miraculous circumstances. A lot of them will just want to pick a fight and try to harass you or make you feel bad for being a Christian, or try to confuse you, or make you feel like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about, or do I really believe this? No, you don't need to argue with that. You don't need to, you know, they, you know, the, what was the Homie the Clown from Living Living Color? Homie don't play that. Andy don't play that. You know, and then you should take the same approach. You don't play that. You want, this is the truth. You do take it or leave it. You don't like it? Well, you can just go off and worship Allah somewhere else. You want to learn about the truth? You can come talk to me and ask me real questions when you're ready. You know, Mike, I was talking to you about this, about a book I was translating. I'm working on it. I'm finishing up. It was a catechism from the year 1599, written by St. Juan de Ribera, the Archbishop of Valencia in Spain, meant specifically for converting Muslims. And something about this catechism is really unique. When you open it up and you're going through it, again, a lot of it's pretty boring for people just because there's a lot of, you know, just theological things, so forth. It's a Thomistic style dialogue. But in the first dialogue, this Muslim guy, he says, I'm a Muslim. I'm from a certain place in Morocco. I'd like to learn about, you know, the Christian faith. And the priest starts asking him, he's like, oh, yeah, you really want to learn about it. So why are you asking me? Why don't you ask somebody else? And it's really sarcastic with what this priest is saying and really hard. And this Muslim finally turns to him, the dog, and says, why are you speaking to me like this? And the priest says, because most of you come here and you ask these questions with bad intentions. you become Christians, so then you can apostatize in your native lands and get money, or you just come here as spies and traitors. And you know, traitors often meet very sad ends. And the guy's like, but I really want to learn. And the priest says, all right, if God has truly guided your heart, come meet me back here next week. And then it goes on. You can even see back then, the church has always understood, and people who really have worked with Muslims know, there is a very disingenuous side with a lot of these people, and you just have to call them on the carpet. Look, I believe what I believe. Don't sit here and just try to challenge me. And then when I ask you a question, you get offended. You want to believe, you can talk to me like a human. Otherwise, have a nice day.
He is Andrew Bizad, and his book is Lions of the Faith. When is the this other, and you can get that at Amazon Kindle, when is this other book going to be done?
Probably about 2 months. Like I said, about a month and a half. Actually, a month and a half now. I've really been putting it together. I've been delayed because, you know, life is, I have a large and growing family and plenty of other responsibilities. So, you know, between taking care of the kids and getting my stuff done, it's slowed me down a little bit, but it should be done in about 90 days.
Sounds fantastic. And you don't have to wait, though. You can get Lions of the Faith as an Amazon Kindle download at Amazon.com. And there are about a half a dozen interviews, conversations that Andrew and I have had over the last 2 years. You can find, or a year and a half, you can find all of them at MikeChurch.com or at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. And we'll add this one to the number. Andrew, I appreciate your time, brother. Thank you. And we'll talk again real soon.
I appreciate having you on. You have a great day, Mike.
All right. That's Andrew Bizad there, folks. 844-527-8723, our telephone number. We're going to have Lord Christopher Monckton on next, and Lord Monckton has suggested that Texas needs to do what Great Britain is doing, and there needs to be a Texit. I'm going to ask Lord Monckton about Texits and Brexits and about importing Muslim populations into London. You know, London hasn't had... it's mass murder yet. It's had some attacks, but it hasn't had its Charlie Hebdo, its Brussels Airport, its San Bernardino, or its Orlando. And by the way, folks, if you're keeping score here, if you're keeping up with this, you think about this. San Bernardino, Muslims. That's Islamic Orthodoxy. Orlando, Florida, Islamic Orthodoxy. That's two. Fort Hood, Texas, Islamic Orthodoxy. That's three. Chattanooga, the recruiting station, shot up by a Muslim, Islamic Orthodoxy. We never get that this one is Islamic Orthodoxy, but it is. John David Muhammad. Mitter Church, who is John David Muhammad? I don't know that name. You know him as the Washington, D.C. highway sniper. Islamic Orthodoxy. There are probably dozens and dozens and dozens of the Boston Marathon bombing. Islamic Orthodoxy. It's already happened here. This idea here that it hasn't happened and it's going to happen is just ridiculous. It has happened. It is happening. And yet we're told, hey, no, we got a $660 billion national security state, pal. It's not happening here. Oh, yes, it is. The only question that remains is, what are we going to do about it? And that's a serious question that, you know, serious men need to provide serious answers to. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio, the way it should be.